it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito. Our lowest price visit is at Doral Hyundai at DoralHyundai.com. Starting with the Panthers, who fell to Detroit 4-1. The Cats will play the back end of their back-to-back tonight in New Jersey. The puck drops at 7, and the game can be heard here on WQAM. In the NFL, Week 7 begins tonight with the Steelers and Bengals. Kickoff is at 8:15. Over to the Canes, who return from their bye week tomorrow night when they host Louisville. Kickoff is at 7 from Hard Rock, and the game can be heard here on WQAM with countdown to kickoff beginning at 3. And in baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 13-4. Seattle leads the ALCS 2-1. Joe, this is usually where I would play the apology and some stupid music under it, but we have to move on, don't we?
Yes.
Let's talk about
you know what? I like sports. That. But you've come a long way, Will.
Yeah.
That's big.
I just enough, man.
Hey, man,
enough of the drama.
Everybody's got an opinion. Now I find out Jalen Phillips came out and said maybe those guys should apologize to him. And
I don't want to hear it anymore, man.
Yeah,
just go play, go win.
Go play. Go get a sack.
Lose, whatever it is
and
you're
Tua,
do.
Go throw a couple of touchdown passes and get a win. And let's just let's move on, man.
It's been an exhausting week.
Yeah, and it's just I just wish. I know he's not capable of it. Just and our writers keep track of all the things. Well, I do too. Things he said.
Yeah.
You know, your fan base is very beaten up right now. They really are. The fan base, the morale right now is not great with your fan base. It's just not.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd say
the hardcore are going.
Wow. No. I wouldn't say that though, because there are people that still write to us on Twitter that defend Tua to the death.
That's fine.
Here, so.
Well, they don't think he's a problem. I'm just said the team.
Yeah. No. There are people that still think that he's a competent player, like that he's a good enough player. It's just that the Dolphins have done him such a disservice by surrounding him with crap.
Yeah.
Which, and it was funny because you were back here. We were talking about this earlier, like which NFL teams have these, like, you know, quote unquote, elite offensive lines.
Yeah, so that's very overrated. That anybody thinks that every quarterback in the NFL or like the top 5 or 6 guys are just standing. What do you think life's been like for? Let's start with Patrick Mahomes.
Oh my God, yeah.
You want to talk about a guy that he's running, by the way, more this year than he's running his life. He's running for his life, but he's keeping
taking a lot of
guys.
Hits.
Justin Herbert, he's got 19 offensive linemen out. Like so, this thing.
It's just funny, though, because all these people, they tweet to, like, not all these, a few of them, and they go, well, you know, if you build it in the trenches,
yeah,
it'll be fine. And it's like, well, the Dolphins have been trying to address that for how long have they been trying to figure this out?
Long time.
The offensive line thing's been a thing ever since I've been started doing the show with you. It's like every offseason, can we build the offensive line?
Yes.
So it's obviously not that easy.
Well, it hadn't been easy for Chris Greer, for sure.
But if you do happen to, you know, luck into an elite quarterback, then they can cover up a lot of those problems.
Hey, I think if you watch NFL games, if anybody thinks you were asking me who had the best offensive lines, and I named 4 or 5 teams. It looked like Colts have a good offensive line right now, the way they're running the ball. And mm-hmm. Daniel Jones has had some nice pockets and stuff. Atlanta, last week, I watched them just run all over. I go, that's good-looking offensive line. The Lions through the year, a few years, have had good offensive line. But bottom line is, there's a lot of really good quarterbacks that are running around for their life trying to keep plays alive outside the pocket. And so, it's just, it's weak. Tua just can't do some of the things that these other guys do, including the guy that was taken right behind him. As yeah. just a little reminder.
You're right, by the way. Jonathan Taylor's leading the league in rushing. He's got 603 yards. James Cook is at 2. Bijan at 3. Bijan probably fly up that list after he plays these guys. But
well, they got the
Javonte Williams at 4, and then Rico Dowdle.
What are you just – you're bringing up all the quarterback, the running backs that we've played against.
That's true. That's a few of them, yeah.
Get your numbers. That's
but like again, you know, like Travis Etienne is in there, J.K. Dobbins, Derrick Henry. Like, I don't know how many of those offensive lines you would consider are elite.
No, they're not. There's a lot of people. And by the way, everybody's got same problems we have. Everybody's got one or two or three guys out. Chargers had a few extra guys out. But
look how valuable pass rushers have gotten too, right? And there's a lot of really good pass rushers out there that are making a ton of money.
I saw an interesting one. Somebody wrote an article a couple of days ago and said the biggest trade position is going to be between now and that early November date that is coming up that we'll all be talking about. See if it happens November 4th, 4 o'clock, that pass rushers are going to be number one. Because everybody keeps talking about Chubb and Jalen. I mean, everybody's looking for more pass rushers.
People willing to give up a lot. Look what Green Bay gave up. Bring that guy in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. So, so anyway, look, man. He's a quarterback right now. It's not going to change. I happen to think it's not going to change next year because the amount of money will be very surprised, and it just and the other thing is I want to ask everybody this question. So I don't know what's going to happen the next couple weeks before the trade deadline. I don't know. It's not Cleveland, you know, you can win this game, although they've only won one game, so I'm very careful to say they can beat anybody right now. But November 4th on a Tuesday, do we trust the same guy we're blasting, Chris Greer, to all of a sudden go, hey, I got this, man. What do you want to do, Mr. Ross? I got it.
No, because it's officially now you're tearing it down, right? You have to rebuild the thing from scratch because the roster is so unbelievably flawed.
The roster needs.
You cannot allow this guy.
The roster needs a lot. Yes, it needs to be over.
And here's the other problem. Like, if you do fire him, Joe, what's today? October 16th? If you do fire him, who is making those decisions?
Oh, that's.
You gonna find someone to come in here temporarily, or is there someone out there floating around that you like?
They have a very well respected assistant GM. They have, you know, but again, that decision has got to come. And I don't know if Mr. Ross listens to anybody. I don't know. I truly am totally out of the loop. I haven't always been totally out of the loop, but right now, I think a lot of it is because of my comments and what I have said.
Do you have to issue an apology too?
I'm not doing. Why would I do that on the way these guys have played and what we haven't done?
I don't know. Just in the spirit of everyone apologizing today, it seems like.
I mean, if I could get some good information, I'd give them a fake ass apology. I don't mean it, but I would do one if they give me some.
Do you want to explain to a couple of these people that keep tweeting at us here, like why Tua is the focus of a lot of the discussion? They just, I mean, these people can't understand why a lot of this falls on the quarterback shoulders.
He's one.
And like, I don't know how to better explain it to them besides like that it's the most important position in sports. It's a very high paid position and people care about that. Like, I don't know how long you want to sit here and talk about the offensive line needs to improve.
So what do you tell me? People don't think it's a big deal what he said is what you're telling me or no?
I think that a handful of these people think that the roster is so poorly constructed that if it were better around Tua, because Tua is a good enough player that he could get this team to where it needs to get to.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what reality these people live in, what games they're watching where they think that there's even a shred of enough talent on this guy to take you to a playoff win, a Super Bowl win, any of that stuff.
Okay, so
like, it's just not even close.
We can run through this, and this is all everybody knows these things. It's a thin roster. It was a thin roster. Everybody knows that. Jonah Savainaya has not been very good at left guard. He is, to put it nicely, really struggled. I didn't know that our right guard and right tackle, our highest paid free agent, at right guard, James Daniels was going to get hurt. He got hurt within a couple plays. I didn't know Austin Jackson was going to get hurt in the same injure his toe again and be out. I didn't know that was going to happen. After that, it got really, really thin on this team. But saying all that, those guys have still been good enough for us to get things done. I'm not saying they're perfect. They're not. I don't think if you're great in this group, which is this five, Cole Strange's taken over the last couple of weeks. Keon Smith didn't work out real well, so he's a backup. But, you know, it's the middle of the pack, below average offensive line. So people saying that, we don't have an elite offensive line. But I got to tell you, man, I really believe, like, these guys, a lot of these guys can take off. Baker Mayfield had everybody out, and he took off, and he did enough to find a way to win a game.
Well, the counter text here, Joe, the guy goes, then how do you explain Baker Mayfield? He has an offensive line, no wide receivers, yet he's 5-1.
That's right. That's by the way, and he's not the most athletic quarterback, but he
But here's the thing, though, too. Like, you can't watch on Sunday. I'm convinced a lot of these people don't watch the other games. You can't watch Baker Mayfield and the Bucs play and have – and it's not even an apples-to-apples comparison.
No.
Watching Tua play. Like, I don't even know how you could compare the two guys. Baker Mayfield's a football player.
Tua.
Right? Like, the way that he plays is just different.
Tua can't play in a reckless way because of what's happened to him. Everybody knows that. And he has been told over and over, slide. And how many times now have we seen
when he slides 3 yards short of the sticks?
Third and nine. He takes off and runs, looks wide open. Next thing you know, he slides 4 yards, 3 yards short of.
And Baker Mayfield will bulldoze you and try to.
And Baker Mayfield and some of the other guys.
But that's on Chris Greer because you drafted a guy that was very, very injury prone.
I don't disagree.
The concussion thing, it's fair. Like, you probably didn't know about that part of it, but the guy was like really badly hurt when you drafted him.
Correct. Some of these problems were there was a red flag out before it started. But
you got to watch the games, though, too. Like, to compare Baker Mayfield to Tua is just not, it's not even a fair comparison.
Hey,
they have nothing in common.
I was waiting, and I've been real nice this week. You saw the guy taken right behind him and what he played and the.
Yeah, it's you can't compare these guys.
You saw Justin Herbert, 6'6", 240 pounds.
Yeah, and he shook off a sack, and he made the game-winning throw. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's it. I don't want to get in the whole Tua thing. He's our guy going this year, and we'll see how it goes and the comments. I'm guessing he'll say things. If they don't bother you, that's fine. If they don't bother you, and I can see by the comments, people are like, Tua was right, and that he should be letting those guys have it. He's a quarterback, and, you know, he can do that. Well, I just wish he looked more like a franchise quarterback, then I'd have less problem with it. That would be start. But I got to tell you, if you like him, I had somebody outside the stadium hit me with this too, this same stuff, and I didn't feel like getting into the whole thing, and he had his boys with him with their Tua jerseys on, and I was in no mood to tell him how I really felt. But, yeah. So
you know what the telling thing will be when the Dolphins finally move on from him after this season?
They're not moving. And, they're not
yes,
moving
they are.
On.
And when they move on from him, let's see how many other teams are lining up to bring this guy in to be their starting quarterback.
Not for what he's making.
I don't care what he's making. He can play for free. I don't think a lot of teams are going to be lined up to take his services.
All right. So now you started in on this whole thing from the apology to just blasting how he's doing. Is this making you feel good too now?
No, I don't.
Huh?
No, I don't feel good about any of this stuff.
And by the way, I know you tried to bait me into saying that he's not going to be around next year.
I don't care what you say. You just said you don't have any inside sources.
I know he's making a lot of guaranteed money. Ask Chris Greer about the guaranteed money.
They'll figure it out.
Okay, they'll figure it out. Boy, you're so good at
this. They always do.
I always love the way you figure things out after. After
hey, man, you got to figure it out, right? What are you going to do? Were you going to do another season of this? Oh, man, we owe him too much money. Sorry, fans. You're going to have to suffer through another year.
We got to go to break. Keep your great thoughts, though, today there, Rainhead. As we continue to rain over your head again. Gary and Harvey never raining over those guys. All they do is help people, man. Harvey Cohn and Gary Jude, I'm talking about the partners of Cohn and Jude Injury Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. Yep, you know, slip and fall, automobile accidents. You go with one of those big firms, right? Oh, man, they look so good on TV. Then you find out that guy hadn't tried a case in like 20 years. Well, wait a second. That's a guy I really liked. He's the reason I'm with this law firm. Oh, he's going to do a handoff. It's very common down here for people doing commercials. They hand you off to one of their other attorneys in there. It's been around a couple of years. Give them a couple of cases, including yours. How do you feel like? You feel like a priority right now? Probably not. Well, let me tell you about Harvey Cohn and Gary Jr. Now that I've taken shots at everybody else and let you know you can leave anytime you want if you don't feel like a priority where you are and you're hurting and you can't understand why you can't get a call back. I'm talking about the same partners who handle your case from start to finish, more than 30 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results, small enough just to call you back. Go to CohnandJudah.com and read the reviews. That's all you have to do. Find out about the personal touch when you read the reviews. Partners who you can always get a hold of, even on the weekends. Go to CohnandJudah.com or 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work. You hire them to do.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on WQM is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today, Joe.
All right, Pete Prisco going to join us, senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports. Sat with him at a lot of practices, and he did not have a good feel about this team, the Miami Dolphins. Did not. And was very open about it, does not hide about it. Matter of fact, he's got him 31st on his power rankings this week. We'll talk to Pete. Bo's on his way in to join us here in a few minutes. He'll be with us, and we'll get into a whole bunch of different things with this team. And then Don Strock will join us at 9 o'clock. By the way, Chef Andre, Catch and Cut, Stone Crabs. Today's the first day of Stone Crabs. Las Olas going to have some fresh.
Don't they catch the crab and cut off its feet and then toss it back in?
I don't know, man.
So they regrow, don't they?
I think they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think so.
Cruelty free, right?
I got to tell you, man, as you know, though, from Joe Stone Crab, those things are really good. And Chef Andre's going to have
that.
Very
good.
So if you look a little different, you're going to something nice this weekend.
Maybe at the big ones, though, when you go.
Call
the big claws.
You haven't been over to put it on the list of really nice restaurants in Las Olas. That thing is great steaks, unbelievable sushi bar. They got the whole friggin' deal there.
You a sushi guy?
I love sushi.
Really? I know that about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I got it.
Did you used to go to the, there's a sushi place across from the old Dolphin facility, the buffet? You ever go to one of those? Those are interesting.
No. I don't.
All you can eat sushi for $10?
No, I haven't done that. No.
It's a gamble, but, you know.
I haven't been.
It's high risk, high reward.
No,
I
know. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying with that. I think
that one has had some issues, too, in the past,
I'm
not mistaken.
I don't know.
I think they were on some of the local news stations.
Yeah, I know. ABC's.
Problem.
Yeah, for that problem.
But, hey, man, look.
One thing about that show on ABC. What is that thing that called the Dirty Diner or something?
Oh, yeah. Where they exposed
that guy. And then the guy goes, hey, you got cockroaches all over the place, man. What do you have to say about it? And like, go away. Leave us alone. We're not talking. Well, you have a problem. You got shut down. Cockroaches everywhere.
You're paying like that kind of price for all you can eat sushi. I would be surprised if they didn't have that stuff.
Yeah.
In the restaurant. Right?
I don't know. Why'd you take it to something nice? I started with something nice with Chef Andre.
I said I love those places.
Then you went to buffet. Oh, I took my dad to a buffet in Marysville.
Sizzler?
I did. I went to Sizzler. Nice. It's a buffet now. I didn't even know Sizzler was a.
I thought it was just a salad bar buffet. They had a full, like a food buffet.
Yeah, they had food too.
Nice. How was it?
What you thought it would be. Let's just say the soft ice cream was a favorite of.
Oh, they have an ice cream machine.
80 and 90 year olds that I was with.
All right.
They couldn't wait to get to the chocolate soft ice cream and the vanilla. Had both. They go, hey, by the way, you're not done, are you? What do you mean? They go, the ice cream's the best.
They have toppings too.
Yeah, of course. Nice, all that stuff.
Those are always good, right?
It was just funny. Yeah. I was sitting there with my 9-year-old dad and his 2 80-year-old sisters, and they're like, and my uncles, and they're like, man, this is good. You're going to have one, right? I go, yeah, I'm going to have one. So good. So good. Hey, we've got a lot of great stories going on. We got I'm looking forward to seeing the game tonight. Aaron Rodgers got a chance to join the Colts and Tampa Bay Bucks with the best record. Woody, could anybody have picked that? That the Steelers, the Bucks, and the Colts would have, and it's early, we're not even halfway point, could have the 3 best records in football. And better than that, how about the Patriots in first place in the AFC East?
It's been a strange season.
It has been a weird, weird season.
I think the weirdest storyline has got to be the Ravens right now.
You're just wondering if they get healthy enough or if they lost too many games to make a run. No way, man.
Like, I'm listening to a guy driving in this morning. He goes, well, they just have to win 9 in a row and they'll be fine when they get Lamar back. And it's like, well, I don't think Lamar fixes the amount of problems that team has. Like, they're terrible.
Everybody's talking about Kansas City now after the way they've been playing, and now they get Rice back as another receiver. That and Mahomes, by the way, his numbers. I mean, he's been throwing it. They're saying, hey, he's back. Again, he's got maybe the best weapons if they can stay healthy that he's had. He's got some guys that can run.
You want to give your pick for tonight, by the way, since we're keeping track of your picks all season long? Steelers are 5-point favorites on the Hard Rock Bet app this morning.
I just look at the Steelers.
Game's in Cincinnati, if that matters.
I know, but the Steelers' offense, they got one receiver. Their receiving core's terrible. They got good tight ends, but they got one receiver. They desperately need another receiver. And by the way, the guy they got rid of has been pretty good for Dallas.
So this is interesting. So DK Metcalf, the guy you're talking about, 64.5 yards is his total tonight. The next highest pass catcher on the Steelers is Jonnu Smith at 27.5 yards.
Wow.
That's bad.
You can't make that up, Woody. That's some crazy numbers.
You got to think DK's going over that number, or at least maybe Jonnu too, right?
Aren't they have to get in the market if they're sitting there with a really good record and they got a chance. They're going to add a receiver. They're going to add. They have to add a receiver for somebody with the trade deadline a couple weeks away. All right. Hey, Woody, we've got Pete Prisco going to join us. We just got a call. Bo's on his way in as well. So we'll have that for you here. We got 9 o'clock hour with Don Strock. The Stroker Man is going to join us. We'll talk to him. A lot of football stuff coming up. So don't leave us. I do want to tell you about my friends at Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. I tell you one thing, I always tell everybody, I know there's air conditioning companies everywhere. I know they copy everything. Heck, we started with the young girl. Now everybody's got their daughters doing stuff, man. Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing, 37 years in the business, 135 trucks on the road going 7 days a week. Those are a couple of numbers in the world of stats now. Boy, I'll tell you, training certified technicians to take care of all your air conditioning problems. We got a lot of trucks on the road. The reason being, when you have a problem, you want somebody to come out quickly and take care of you. That's what Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing are all about. I want to let you know we got a warehouse full of air conditioning units and water heaters. We like to call ourselves the Water Heater Kings of South Florida. Box trucks filled with all-size Rheem water heaters ready to go out. Same-day installation is always the goal. Financing plans always available for you. Family owned and operated, going better than ever right now. We lost Big Daddy Lenny, but we didn't lose Eric. He's ready to keep it rolling for you. 1-888-FIX-MY-AC. That's 1-888-FIX-MY-AC forever around the clock. Air conditioning and plumbing.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, Joe.
All right, and we got Big Bo. We're getting him figured out here on the headset here. We're having a few problems because sometimes things don't work here in this brand-new studio that's really nice, looks nice, doesn't always work great. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, joins us. Pete, anything? Pete, go ahead and give me a I told you so. I'll feel good. Just say, I told you so. Go ahead.
I told you so, Joe. You know what, though?
I've been saying, I said it three times this morning. I said, Pete said it. As soon as he saw this team, he was at camp. He was killing it. We kind of rolled our eyes like, Pete, you don't know. Let him play it out. You didn't think it was going to be like this, though. You could not have thought it was going to be this bad.
No, I did not. I did not think it would be this bad. I mean, look, across the board, it's been awful. No way did I think they had corner issues and secondary issues and everything else, but no way I thought that defensive line would get blown off the ball the way they're getting blown off the ball. I mean, they can't – the holes are cavernous. They can't tackle. It's just a bad look. And then you go to the other side of the ball, and, you know, with Tyreek Hill being gone, that changes the way you play. But still, they're just not a good football team right now. And I think it bleeds down from the top. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you have Tua talking about guys not showing up on time for players-only meetings, which, you know, that's a whole other side. We'll get to that in a second. But that kind of comes from the top. I mean, you know, if you can let these guys get away with doing things for a couple years, and all of a sudden you're going to try and be a disciplinarian, it just doesn't work.
I don't think he had any idea when he made his comments the other night. Everybody else, the alert went up. Bo, everybody noticed right away that he had maybe wasn't the right thing. Maybe that should have been said privately, which, by the way, no matter what anybody else on that team says, I totally agree. You got a problem with somebody. And by the way, I hope we never have to hear about players-only meetings ever again, because that's all this team's been talking about.
Well, I mean, Joe, first off, if it's happening, it's a reflection of him.
Yes.
As a leader. If he said it the way he said it, he just threw a blanket over the entire roster, which is horrible to do. If you got a problem, and if, say you wanted to go out there and say that and send a message to somebody, you can't just indict the entire team, because now everybody in that locker room, you look at him and you go, okay, well, he was one, he was late, he was probably late, even if they weren't. And so I think he handled it poorly from two different aspects of it. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that he would be the kind of guy that would stand up and you know, throw his teammates under the bus, particularly since he doesn't exactly come across as a leader who's got that fire in his belly that's going to call him out privately if they don't show up on time.
Wow. Well, listen, on top of all that, it's been a crazy time in the National Football League right now, starting – with the fact that the Patriots are in first place in the AFC East. I did not see them getting things flipped around. Last time I was thinking about them, they turned the ball over five times against the Steelers and still almost won the game. But, man, they're playing. They look like a different team. What happened there?
Yeah, a couple quick things, Joe. First off, I was wrong because I picked the Dolphins to be last. I didn't know the Jets would be this bad. So I got to give them that. I got that going for them. The other thing is, when you were a player, did Marino ever call player-only meetings?
You know what? Bo and I talked about a little bit. We can't get Bo on. We're trying to get a mic to work in here. We can't get it to work. But Bo doesn't remember. We had him. I don't remember. Baldy yesterday said he remembers them and they never worked. So I guess we had them. But listen, our team was driven pretty heavily by the guy that was a head coach. So that kind of took care of it. But we did have some get-togethers when we lost a couple of games or things weren't going well and guys seemed a little salty. But I don't remember what happened to him, Pete. I'd be lying to you. It was the 80s.
But Joe, here's the other part of it. You didn't need to have player-only meetings for a discipline thing. You need to have player-only meetings to try and go, how are we going to deal with this lunatic for the next 7 weeks? You know what I mean? The discipline was instilled from that guy. He was the discipline. You didn't want – you guys were in fear of him. You know what I mean? back in the day, not that you feared him, but you respected him, and you did what he told you to do, and you understood that that was part of the process. You hated every bit of it,
yeah,
but you did it because you respected and you feared your, not fear, but you know what I mean, because you can't right. say that anymore, but you know what I mean, and now it's not that way anymore. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I didn't think this was going to end up being, like you said, the problems got. I know everybody's talking about Tua, but the bigger problem right now is this run defense. And if it's not inside, it's outside, and it's just they're giving up a lot of yards, dead last. And that thing, by the way, who do you think wins the game this week? Cleveland's got their own problems and as bad as anybody. What do you think happens?
Well, one team has a unit that can actually play, and that's the defense of the Browns. So I think the Browns are going to find a way to win that game. It'll be ugly, but I think they'll find a way to win. Again, if you can't stop the run, it just demoralizes you in everything yeah. you do. And so I think that's going to be a problem for them. So, and then, you know, then when to change, by the way, big changes coming and they'll come after the season. I'm not a big believer in changes during the season do anything, by the way. All it does is it starts the process maybe and gets you onto that a little bit. But I don't think it does anything, Joe. I just, you know, what are you going to do? Give it to Anthony Weaver? Take a look at his defense. And not to say he can't be a head coach, because I like some of the stuff he says, but you're going to reward him for the way his defense is played? Who do you give it to? What do you do with that? You know, so I don't know necessarily if that's the right thing to do, but there will be changes at the end of the season. And by the way, the general manager needs to go too. I mean, you know, it should be a package deal out the door when they do
well. I'm glad you said that, because if you do, we got a trade deadline coming up here in a couple weeks. So I got to ask you, do you let Chris Greer make moves if there's some guys you want to trade? That's got to come from the top, doesn't it? Whoever Mr. Rosser, does he just, hey, finish it out and do what you think we should do? Or what do you think would happen?
Well, I mean, if you can get assets for guys, you get rid of them. That's what I would do. I mean, you have to look at it, particularly if they lost this week. Yeah, you have to look at it from that standpoint. If you can get, you know, draft picks for guys and, you know, Chubb or Phillips or whoever, and you know, I've even heard Zach Sealer's name mentioned around the league a little bit. See, teams looking at him. So if you could get assets back for those guys, then why not? Because it's going to be a rebuild, and you have to start all over. And the more draft picks you have, the better off you'll be. Even if they're third, fourth, fifth round, the more you have, the better chance you have to hit those guys and rebuild the thing. So, yeah, I think if I'm the Miami Dolphins, if they lost to Cleveland, particularly this week, I'm starting to trade off my assets.
Let me get back to old Drake May now. How well is he playing for the Patriots? And I looked at that schedule. Now, again, I'm not saying they're world beaters yet. They got a chance to win 11 or 12 games. You see that schedule they have?
It's amazing. But you know what? The flip side of that is take a look at the Bills schedule. It's pretty easy, too. I mean, those two teams have, you know, the Bills play, they got Carolina in a couple weeks. They're a better team than you think they are, but they're not that good. And there's a couple other ones before they play the Chiefs at home. So their schedule's not that tough either. But I am impressed by what the Patriots have done. And I thought, remember before the season, I said they would be the second team in the division. I thought they would be feisty. I thought they would be a challenger every week, and they would push for maybe a wild card spot. They've accelerated that curve. They're ahead of that. And I give two things. If you have a coach and you have a quarterback, you're going to be good. That's the way it is in the NFL. If you have a coach and quarterback, you're going to have a good team. You supplement the roster around them, get some pass rushers, you'll be a good team. Well, they have the coach. Mike Vrabel showed over the course of his career that he can instill a toughness in a team. And two, they have a quarterback now.
Yeah.
That kid's the real deal. Some of the throws he made last week against New Orleans, you went, wow. And so coach, quarterback, great combination, and away they go. And I think that's the difference in New England Patriots, and they're going to hang around all year.
Pete, they're trying to mute me here.
We finally got them on. It only took us 20 minutes.
They're
but
trying
we got
to take my
on.
Voice
you,
away from
oh,
me.
What have you been saying? The Dolphins must have turned off your mic.
Well, that's what I think. So I think they sent some bugs in.
Pete.
I think Joe's been beating Tua down so much this week. They put some bugs in this, in this studio so that no one else can talk. They're trying to get Joe's microphone, but he doesn't even need a microphone to be heard. So
no. No, I got to tell you, this is a bit.
No, he's a loud man. He really is a loud man.
Hey, Pete, it's been a rough couple weeks around here. I ain't gonna lie to you. We're
a couple weeks. It's been a couple since the day we left Indianapolis.
You're right.
It's been a black cloud hanging over this whole whatever we're seeing this season.
Yeah, and
it's bad. I mean, it's sad. It's bad because you know, at one point a couple of years ago, they looked like they were going to be, you know, one of those teams that hung around for a long time, and they were sustainable, and it just crumbled. It fell apart. And I look, I always go back to discipline. I really do. You know, to me, that's tackling in your bad tackling team. Tackling is discipline. It's want to. It's drive, desire. You know, the mistakes. It's drive, desire. It's all the same thing.
You know what I've always said? If you look at the best team in this league and the worst team in this league and everyone in between, from a roster standpoint, it's razor thin, right? The difference between the best and the worst from a standpoint of players, it's pretty, you know, some guys might have that special player.
A quarterback.
But you know, to me, the difference in the best team and the worst team is the small details, right? The small details. Joe, you remember our guy. I mean, we would have our game, our playbook would have a playbook. We'd have the plays. We'd have a little box in the top that gave you some little details that if this happens, this and so, you know, you got teams that they're undisciplined. Some of them don't even know the rules of the game, and you try to win, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
You know. You're right, and look, discipline is not just, you know, people think it's just being on time and doing that. It's taking it to the field and not having 42,000 pre-snap penalties. It's not having, guys out of position on plays and getting busted coverages because they know the responsibilities. It's the want to and the drive and desire. My coach is instilled this in me that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make sure that I get that running back on the ground. Instead of popping, you know, he runs by me and I can't tackle. I mean, you look at, I'll give you both examples in the division. The Jets are the worst tackling team in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miami's run, the cavities that guys run through on that defense are just amazing. And that's want to. And right now, there is, in both buildings, I question the want to on those players.
Well, so Joe, I talked this on about during the game. You know, they must have 20 coaches on the sidelines, 20 coaches. And in a critical point in the game, we've got to take a timeout because we've got 12 guys in the defensive huddle. And you got 20 coaches on the sideline over there.
Yeah.
And you can't put 11 guys on the sideline. You got to take a timeout.
Yeah.
And give that up.
Not the first time this year.
No, not the first time this year. And that's just what you're talking about. And that's what I'm talking about, the details. That little thing, oh, it's just a timeout. Oh, okay. What happens when you got, you know, what happens when you're down to 46 seconds? Now how valuable is that timeout?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Hey, Pete, before I let you ride here, Tampa Bay number one on the power ranking, man. By the way, what a great story, Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
And he doesn't want to hear anybody complaining about around the league about offensive line problems because that guy's working around it, man. He is something else.
It's amazing. And when I was there, you know, I went there for camp. I was there in a mini camp and I looked at that team. I said, oh my God, they're really, really talented. And then he just got picked apart on the offense. Think about this. He has not played one game, not one, not the first one, not any of them, with the starting offensive line in their spots, not one. And he won't because the right guard's not coming back. He's out for the year. But they have moved guys around that line. Now they're finally getting a few guys back. You know, Wirfs is back and they're healthy now. But then you look at the receiver group. The other day he was throwing some on the TV broadcast. They said 4, 5, and 6. No, it was 5, 6, and 7 because Evans was out, Ibuka was out, McMillan was out, and Godwin was out. So he was throwing to 5, 6, and 7, and he won the game. And he didn't have his running back, Bucky Irvin, in that game either. So it's a tribute to him. It's a tribute to their roster building. You know, Jason Light, people don't pay attention to what good a job he does drafting. And he'll be the first to tell you, when he first got there, he had problems drafting. The first draft wasn't great. And he adjusted his philosophy. And you look at his drafts, they're very good at finding guys. When they drafted Ibuka this year, everybody said, well, why aren't they drafting a pass rusher? Well, he drafted Ibuka because he knew that the two receivers were getting up in the years and one was coming off an injury. Yeah. Then Ibuka gets banged up, and Tez Johnson, who he drafted then later in the draft, comes in and makes the big play down the field. Why? Because he can run.
Yeah.
So I think it's a tribute to Jason Light, and it's also a tribute to Baker Mayfield being the MVP right now.
Pete, man, I wish we had about 4 hours with you, brother. Thank you so much for coming
things,
on here.
Things we could get into right now. With
I know, team. And oh, I just had God. That vision of sitting next to you and looking to see where Ann is as you're carrying on. So thank you.
All right, guys. Take All right. care.
Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports. Hey, Don Strzok, the Stroker, is going to join us when we come back. Stay with us.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.